Imagine having a condition that is so agonising that you cannot sit down, that the only relief is cold cans up your vagina, and that sex is so agonising that you avoid it altogether. My guest has suffered from acute vaginal atrophy since the start of her menopause. She's had to come to terms with this lifelong condition. She is out and proud about it and wants to tell the world, and she's written a book called Me and My Menopausal Vagina. She is Jane Lewis, and she's here today with me. Hi, Jane.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Massive welcome onto Radio Gorgeous. So, Jane, tell us about your darkest days with vaginal atrophy.
My darkest days, my husband would have to take the pills that I was given, something called amitriptyline, to work with him because I felt suicidal and I had nowhere to turn and didn't know what to do, because that was before I decided to sort of talk about it. I felt very alone and on my own with it. And I was... very dark days, extremely dark days that I hope I never go back to.
What were your symptoms?
So it started off with, because I was a horse rider, I rode 3 hours a day up to 6 days a week. I was very fit.
And you think where your whole down there is touching
right.
the saddle.
It's yeah, all the yeah, time. Yeah. And suddenly I just started getting sore. And
I suppose you just thought it was something to do with saddles.
Yes, yeah, but bearing in mind, I'd ridden for years and I'd never particularly got sore. And then I would put a bit of sort of baby cream on there and ignore it. And then it became where sex became slightly painful. And then it just got worse and worse. And then one day I had a look, because I thought I can't ride my horse anymore. And I had a look and I was raw sore. And episiotomies from when I had my children years ago were on the verge of wanting to split open. The skin had gone so thin. Bear in mind, I was only 45, because there's a bit of a myth that this is only a really old lady's condition and happens years after the...
So you were perimenopausal.
Yes, perimenopausal. Yeah. And I'm 53 now.
Yeah.
And then it was... burn. I've never personally had thrush in my life, but it was constant feelings of burning, itching, soreness. When you went for a pee, it felt like razor blades. Sex was just impossible. I was atrophying, so as in the inner labia were literally like butterfly wings. They were about to almost see through. And that was at the age of only 45. And I just didn't know where to turn or what to do.
That's one of the main problems. What do you do when you have this chronic condition? Because number one, it's very embarrassing going and telling to someone. And number two, will a doctor, male or female, understand the condition? How common is it, Jane?
So regards common, they know about 50% of women will suffer, but Dr. Louise Newson recently said it's near a 70% plus, but only roughly 7 to 10% of women are actually going to see their GP about it.
But yours is, I mean, I described it as acute. Not everyone gets it. Everyone will have different symptoms and might need not as bad as yours.
Yes, you know? That's right. So you can have, but generally the term is vaginal dryness, which makes it sound like a slight inconvenience.
I see.
However, I admin a group for this on Facebook, and I'm actually more common than is realised. And that bit of dryness, if you imagine you know your mouth going completely dry and you don't drink anything for a week, that bit of dryness in time can become dry, itching, sore, little ulcers, and will start to split. That's
and your mouth is the same as your vagina.
Right.
It has that film of kind of moisture on it. In fact, someone described it as it's the most similar things to our, you know, both places, our mouths and vaginas.
That's right. And with menopause.
And it's not vagina. That's another thing we've got to come to terms with.
Yes.
People think vagina is everything, but vagina is just the kind of the channel that goes where you have a baby through or you put something in to have sex with.
That's right.
Whereas the area which looks like a flowering rose or an oyster, it is called a vulva.
That's
so your whole area is a vulva. So you're talking about, when you talk about the lips, they're the kind of the rose petals around your hole, which is not even your vagina. That's got another word, hasn't
it? Yes, that's called the vestibule.
Yeah.
So you have the vagina.
Well, that sounds like it's saying at the church.
Yes, well, it is. It's sort of the opening of the doors, really, isn't it?
Lovely.
And then within that area, if you've had children like me, then I can actually see my urethra. It sort of sits there, but the urethra
is like kind of underneath the hood.
Yes, that's where you pee from. But a lot of women think they either pee from their clitoris or they pee out of their vagina.
Oh.
And we're just not aware. Women aren't aware of the area. But regards going back to going to see the doctor, women aren't going to see the doctor So then the doctors, when they do see it, don't think it's particularly a problem. But we know it's a problem, and Dr. Newsom will tell you it's a problem, from A, when she sees patients, if she pushes really hard and says about vaginal problems, they will eventually have these symptoms dragged out of them, but they won't offer it. But all the products that are for sale in the chemists and supermarkets for soreness, dryness, itching, burning, tells you that there is actually quite a big problem.
But also, when I must say, when what happened to me was I started finding that when I was making love, it was hurting, which is obviously a sign. Then when my partner came inside me, it was like acid burning. Yes. Yeah. And so I went immediately to the doctor, and they gave me this thing called vaginal dryness, and it gave me thrush.
Yes.
And it was rubbish.
Yeah.
And then I went to another doctor, and she gave me HRT, and then I interviewed the people from Yes Organic cream, and that lubrication, and that, and the HRT patch have done it for me. But anyway, let's not talk about me, but I'm just saying that,
yes,
you know.
Yes, absolutely. No, there.
So yes. Your journey, you had completely shriveled up, you were raw, you were splitting.
Yeah.
You were dark, you were frightened. What did the GP say to you?
So my GP I have now is very, very good. And I did go off really on a bit of a tangent on my own because I was misdiagnosed with something called lichen sclerosis. So for the first month, I got the wrong treatment. And I did go off and see, then I had money. I went off and saw different private people. On the whole, they've been very good. Once it was realised it was vaginal atrophy, but I remember seeing one GP who said, oh, you're far too young for vaginal atrophy. And and that is a lot of the problem. They think because you're still having periods, you can't have it, but you most definitely can. You can still have all these symptoms. And I know from ladies in my group, some are treated very well, but some are treated really badly.
Tell us some bad cases. What can they do which is unhelpful?
Basically, get on and have sex, have a bottle of wine, relax. And because they can't see, because not for everyone, it's actually on the vulva that hurts, but because they can't physically see, like if they saw a man's penis that was raw red, splitting, withering away, and every time he had sex, he got a UTI, I don't believe they would be told to get on and use it or lose it. And that's...
So the advice is a lot of healthcare professionals are saying, go out and have sex to keep it, I suppose they're thinking, to keep it lubricated. That's the thought behind it.
Yeah, well, I spoke to my own gynecologist about it. It's simply not as simple as that. So the theory behind lose it or use it is, if you're not having pain, that's fine. Because if you don't have sex, over time, and as we age, the vagina can become, it becomes shorter and tighter.
What, like petrified?
Yes, it's sort of, yeah, and it's a muscle, ultimately, yeah. Mm. So if you don't have sex for a long time, and it all becomes more tighter, you then potentially can't have a smear test, because a lot of women in our age group is that one of the highest amount of women who are not having smear tests is the menopausal woman. And Dr. Newsom did a survey recently, and 68% of those were asked, and it was because of the pain from the smear test.
Wow.
So if you're not having sex, then that is the reason saying to keep the whole thing, use it or lose it. However, if your vulva and vagina are raw, bleeding, splitting.
Has the doctor not looked at the vagina?
Yes, they've looked, but they still have that. I think there's still that attitude around women's health that we just get on and keep quiet, and you know,
because it's a private place,
yes,
keep being private,
yes,
about it.
And we are, yeah, the generations before us were more shut up
up.
Yes. And this isn't a new thing that's happening to women, this has always happened, just that we are now living, you know, potentially 30 years without estrogen.
So, can you tell us physically what is happening to us then?
So, when we look in the mirror, we can see our faces are aging, you know, and everything starts to sag and dry up, and we moisturise our faces to keep everything feeling good. Exactly the same is happening in our vagina, and externally to the vulval area as well. But also it includes the bladder and the urethra. So women are more prone to UTIs because the pelvic floor, the whole pelvic floor area, is very estrogen dependent, and we have all these HRT scares at the moment, and there are huge positives for it, and one of the big positives is your pelvic floor, because we see advert after advert for those oops moments on TV.
do.
As if it's a passage of whatever.
Once you get 50 plus, you're just going to be leaking. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you realise that roughly 80% of women can be cured of that by going to see a women's health physiotherapist to help with the pelvic floor and also estrogen? And if you start wearing pads at, say, 50, which is... And if you don't do anything about it, and you're in those for the next 30-odd years, I guarantee...
You're going to be water dripping.
You're going to be raw sore all the time. Oof. Basic nappy rash from when we had babies years ago. If they were, you know. And UTI after UTI. And we know by when you go into a care home, the smell of urine, that it's a problem.
Gosh, it's just... It's so brilliant you're on top of this because... You know, we are all getting older. You know, this is something we've got to face, hasn't been challenged. It's another kind of, NHS problems and co, it's another boring thing we've got to deal with. But you've taken the problem in the face and you've literally written this book, Me and My Menopausal Vagina. And what's the idea of the message you want to give out, Jane?
It's just to empower women that we mustn't shut up and put up anymore. We hear about menopause. For myself personally, I thought menopause was hot flushes, heavy periods, go slightly mad, and life carried on as normal.
Yeah.
I had absolutely no idea of the vaginal and bladder problems that can come. And being told by a medic that they're looking at 70% plus of women getting it, that's a big, big problem. I don't know what the percentage are who get the other problems, you know, but I think 70% is pretty high. 50% is high. And this is costing, A, the NHS an awful lot of money for a lot of unnecessary investigations, sort of, you know, you hear women having cystoscopies, repeat cystoscopies, trying to see why this is happening, why that's happening.
And all they need to do is get their muscles right and get some cream.
That's right, urodynamics testing, this testing, that testing. Plus all the incontinence pads, I think that some people get them on the NHS as part of prescription.
And again, that's really bad because that's really bad for the environment.
That's right. Yeah. And I've got three daughters and a granddaughter, and I thought, I can't have this carrying on again. I was in such a bad place, and we're having all these books coming out now, written by celebrities and doctors, which are all great, but vaginal dryness, or actually whatever you want to call it, only gets a very slight mention. And I just felt because this book is more than about that. It's just about empowering women to start examining ourselves because we check our breasts every month and we really should check our vulva because, like with anything, as you age, you're more prone to things. And that includes vulva cancer, which people thought, you can't get cancer of the vulva, surely. Yes, you can. And the more you age, I mean, it's not a common one, but it is a cancer. And we should get into the habit of every month of examining ourselves. And we shouldn't accept that sex is painful. And that's what this book is about. It's for any age, whether you're young or old, sex shouldn't be painful. And if you're having painful sex, then you need to talk to someone and go and see somebody. And it's just, and also saying to the medical profession that this is a problem because GPs that have read this book have come back and they have said to me that basically when they're taught about vaginal atrophy at med school, if it's barely mentioned, it's a bit of dryness, give a little bit of cream, but don't give the local estrogen for too long because it will cause breast cancer. That's what they're taught. So women are just suffering and putting up, and it is more common than we realize.
So Jane, tell us about you then. So you had it, you got it still. How do you manage your vaginal atrophy?
Yeah, so I use local estrogen, Vagifem.
And do you get that privately or
no? That's from my GP, NHS. And I also use a cream externally, and it's called estriol cream, which is again another type of estrogen cream.
Yes.
So we have to remember that the estrogen, local estrogens, are extremely low dose. Even though it says HRT leaflet within the packets, it doesn't have its own instructions at all, so you have to ignore that. I also take HRT as well.
How do you take it?
I have it through the skin.
Do you have patches?
No, I have the gel.
Oh, I don't know about the gel.
The estrogen, it's on the NHS, it's a gel. Oh. And then I take a pill called Utrogestan because I have a womb, so we have to take have that. But 20% of women with vaginal atrophy, that's quite bad, roughly 20% need both. They need the local estrogen and the HRT.
Yeah.
One isn't enough.
Yeah.
I then use moisturisers as I need them. And
on where in your body?
On the vulval area. So I use an oil-based one that I basically moisturize the area twice a day externally, just to keep everything moist and, you know, the urine on it. You know, when a few years ago I didn't even know that I had a vulva, to be honest with you. I'd never looked for 30 odd years, and I'd never considered it aging. And then, yeah, so and then the urine that we used to pee didn't bother me, didn't irritate or sting or burn, but all those things are different now.
So how do you go to the loo now that is different than before?
Well, I used to be able to just wipe without thinking, but now I have to gently dab, and sometimes...
So would you recommend that for all of us to do that?
It's just because the skin was getting thinner, it couldn't take a wipe anymore. It just had to take a gentle dab.
Yeah.
And I also... sometimes swish with water, you know, and then I have had laser treatment.
Whereabouts?
In the vagina and externally on the vulva.
And what does the laser do?
So it's not a designer vagina, which gives it a very bad What a shame,
Jane. I was hoping you had a designer vagina. Yeah, you're spending a lot of money on it, darling.
Yes, I know. But I'd been researching it for about 3 years. I knew it was out there. And you really shouldn't go in and have the laser treatment first. It should be last on the list. You start off with your moisturiser.
Yeah,
you try everything first.
Yeah.
But my scars externally were really quite bad. And we know from research that scars from burns and that laser treatment can help. Mm-hmm. So I had it internally, but also externally, because I have 3 scars and one of them is very big from my children, episiotomies, externally. So on the perineum...
So is that in between your vagina and your anus?
Yeah, so I have one that goes straight down to the anus and then the other two go off left and right, and one of them goes right into my muscles of my...
Bum.
I had 3 9-pound babies that were big.
God, and you're skinny. You are.
I think now
you're tall, but you're thin.
I would probably have had C-sections if it had been, you know, now. Yeah, so the scars, which were fine for years and years, but, you know, like any scar, they start to sort of atrophy and thin. And so the laser treatment has really helped the quality of the scar tissues. So my perineum now, where if I had stretched it with my fingers, it almost looked like it was going to split open. Now it's got bounce back. Exactly. So that's what it's done. But it's not a cure.
No.
It's not for everybody. Definitely not. Some are having some slight disasters with it.
Did you have to go somewhere special to have
it? It was private. Yeah, okay. I went private. But it is now being tested in London, at King's in London, on the NHS. They're testing it. And it's coming through with some very positive results.
And how much does it cost?
Well, it cost me £1,500 for 5 sessions. But also we have to remember it's not just my age group who get vaginal atrophy problems. Women who've had breast cancer and on drugs like tamoxifen, can suffer dreadfully with vaginal atrophy afterwards, because all the drugs are taking all the estrogen out of their body. And they come to my group that I admin sometimes in pure shock, because it's almost been told, you've survived cancer, just get on with life.
So you've had breast cancer?
No, I haven't had breast cancer.
No, but I mean, these people have had breast cancer, and now they're getting vaginal dryness.
And it's the vaginal dryness.
Wow, I can't wait to spread this out on the internet.
Where they are shocked. They understood the treatment of the breast cancer and the chemotherapy and all that, but they come to my group and they are truly shocked by that. And I also have a lady who's got active ovarian cancer at the moment. And she is so shocked by the vaginal atrophy, and she knows her cancer is terminal, however long that might be. It could be a few years, but she knows that. And she said, and she's had to almost demand that she has the local estrogen because she wants quality of life, because without it, she had no quality of life from her vaginal things. And she said her ovarian cancer will take her one day, and she says she wants to, when her time comes, go with a more...
At least feeling okay.
Because her vaginal area was so painful. But we also have ladies who are breastfeeding. Mm. So when you breastfeed, your estrogen levels are very low. And
I never knew why I never wanted sex after I've given birth.
And also it can be very painful and very sore and dry. Again, they have vaginal atrophy for that time. And I'm not telling women to stop breastfeeding, absolutely not. But they can use local estrogen as well. And while they are breastfeeding, and also the women that have had breast cancer, even if it's estrogen receptive, most of them, I'm not saying everyone, but most of them can go on to local estrogen. It's not a definite no because it's such a small amount. So they need to have a discussion with their oncologists because it is also about quality of life. And don't underestimate how much having vaginal and vulva problems can really mess with your head mentally. Because it's every part of being a woman that gets affected. It can be, I mean, I'm sitting here today now in jeans. A few years ago, I couldn't wear underwear or jeans. I would go around with a dress on with no pants for nearly a year. And there are ladies in my group who are like that. And Dr. Newson, on one of her web pages, podcast recently, she'd had a lady who had not worn under trousers or been able to sit down properly for 4 years. This is from vaginal problems at menopause that is not discussed.
It's just really, I'm you know, you've made me speechless, which as you can tell, Jane, is quite unusual for me. I mean, I am really blown away by this, that there's just not the information out there.
No, I think it's just because us as women are hiding away in private groups and not sort of talking about it. The GPs aren't hearing about it because the women are still very embarrassed about their vaginal, vulva, bladder area. Things are changing though, because this book came out nearly a year ago, and without a doubt, I'm getting women who are more courageous. I had one who joined my group a few months ago who was in a dreadful state with her problems. And back in the summer, she bought quite a few books, invited some girlfriends round, hadn't told them why. She said it was just a little chat and get together. And she presented them all with a book to educate and then for them to discuss and pass on and educate.
Fabulous.
So the things are slowly changing.
Tell us about your group, because this podcast is very international. We have people mostly from UK, the States, and English-speaking kind of, ex-colonies.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
How can they get in contact with you and buy the book and also talk to you?
Yeah, so the book is on Amazon via paperback and Kindle. And the group is called, if you type into Facebook, it is called Vaginal Atrophy. And then there's three questions that you have to answer to get into it. But I have a web page where I can be emailed, mymenopausalvagina.co.uk. And there's an email thing there as well. And I have people in my group from around the world. Literally, I think we've got almost every country from the world where there is someone there. And I even had an email from a lady from America a few months ago who was 85, who found my book. And she said, I can't believe it. I've been suffering for 30 years. Went to see her gynecologist and is starting to get some help.
I know you've gone through to hell and back, but how thrilled are you now that you are helping people?
I'm really, it is a good feeling because marriages do fall apart with this, without a doubt. But part of it is a selfish reason also, because I am terrified of the care homes in the future. And I want that's where I really want things to change. We have a voice now, and I have a voice, but imagine having dementia and being doubly incontinent, you know? And that's where I want awareness, because I'm followed on Instagram and there's a lady who chats to me on there, and she's a care worker. And I have quite a few care workers in my group, and they say, it is as scary as I think it is.
Wow. Now, what exercises can you just tell us, any just to help with our, because my, you know, I'm going to the loo a lot, and when I, you know, when I don't get a chance to go, it comes out a bit, and when I cough and all, yes, you know, starting.
Yeah.
What can I do?
So have you heard of a women's health physiotherapist?
No, I've never heard of one until I read your book.
Yeah. So a women's health physiotherapist, you've heard the word Kegel or pelvic floor exercise, depending on where you are in the world. So because a lot of women just do Kegels and they think it's about just tighten, 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 and that's all they do.
Yeah.
A lot of women are doing them incorrectly, and it's not all about tightening, because if you over tighten, you can also leak through having a very tight pelvic floor, and a pelvic floor should work in harmony, so tight and relaxed. It needs to be able to relax as well. And the best advice I can give is, if you can afford it and you are leaking, you look up a women's health physiotherapist, and what they do is they work on you internally.
Wow.
So they'll have a look at the vulval area and check that everything's looking good. But they will put their finger into the vagina, obviously gloved up with some lube, and they can assess all the muscles within the pelvic floor. They will then ask you to do a pelvic floor exercise, and they can feel on their finger how you're going. And they can assess if you're doing them correctly. Because a lot of people just think they go tight, 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 hold, hold, and that's, that is
what
it.
What I do, I go to bed at night and I think, oh, I've got to do them. And I lie there and I'm holding on for 10 and then loosening.
It's all to do with the breath as well. Because if you, a lot of women will pull up and hold their breath at the same time. So if you're holding the breath at the same time, you're actually doing the opposite, you're pushing down, and you don't want to push
you see,
down.
There's such subtleties. Because we can't see it, you know, it's always been the problem for women.
Yeah, because personally, the pelvic floor, a lot of how they teach you is that you start at the back passage and you feel the back passage, and then you come along through the vagina, take up the urethra and go up the layers, because there's actually three layers of muscles.
That's incredible. That's so much more in depth already than anything I've read.
Because what you're trying to do, you have to imagine an elevator almost, so with three levels. So you're going up the first one, second, third, and then you're holding it here for 10. But if you stay, if you come down and you stay at number two, because you're not relaxing properly, these two levels here are then tight. You can have an over-tight pelvic floor, which can also cause leakage.
Incredible.
It's not all about being loose. It's about working in harmony.
How's your floor, darling?
My floor is actually very good. I can I can cough, jump, sneeze. But I go to a women's health physiotherapist. I personally do not need to do pelvic floor exercises because it was over-tight. It was called hypertonic.
Now, do you think that was from the horse riding?
Yes, a lot of athletes-type people can be over-tight and gymnasts and what have you. So mine was over-tight. Mm. So
you've learned to relax.
So I've learned to relax.
So how do you relax? Is it mental or physical?
No, I can just feel it. I can just feel it drop and go.
Yeah.
I can just feel it at the perineum, especially the bit between the anus and the vagina, the opening of the, you know, that area. I can just feel it drop down. And if I am tense, over tense, it can cause pain. The muscles,
so it's quite
tighten.
It's telling you.
Yeah. So I can relax down.
Just one more thing. Lastly, because you know, your book is funny.
Yes, that's right. Because officially, my daughter actually wrote it for me. Okay, I gave her all the information.
How old is she?
She's 30.
Okay.
I gave her all the information and I wrote it at first. She says, Mum, you cannot send that out. So I knew it had to be funny. It had to be, the factual bits have been checked by a gynecologist, a GP, and Diane Dansenbrick and other people. But then I could write what I wanted because it was about me. And no one else can say that's correct or that's incorrect. And my own gynecologist, I gave it to her and she said, at last, a book written by a patient and not a medic, because I can say things in there that medics could never say.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. And it's fun. It's out there for you. And I really want people to go out and buy it. And I really want people to, you know, this is a life changer. And I'm so happy. I've had a life changer on Radio Gorgeous today. Jane Lewis, thank you so much for coming on. I can't tell you how
you.
I'm already feeling rewarded from talking to you, because I think, you know, I'm dying to go and book up my own personal, what's she called? The personal?
Women's health physios, and you've got a lot round here in London.
Oh, got a lot round here in London. Okay. Anyone can drop round and see us if, you know, feel like it. Have a cup of tea, Radio Gorgeous, and let's talk vaginas. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you.
You'll always find incredibly helpful, interesting, and fun people on Radio Gorgeous. Thanks for listening.